Blog Talk Radio.
From Universal Studios Hollywood, the Samuel Goldwing Company presents WWE Raw! Selected from a nationwide search, 20 men and women have come forth to challenge our batch of WWE superstars for a single honor to become WWE champion. And here are your superstars: John Cena, Mickey James, Kane, Katie Lee, JBL, Beth Phoenix, Batista, Layla, Sam Post, and Kelly Kelly. And here are your hosts for American Gladiators, and your new GM, Mike Adamley, and his assistant, Larry Zonka. Thank you, and welcome to the American Gladiators Tribute / Breaking Mike Adamley's Balls edition of the North American Wrestling Connection. On this program, Mike Adamley is the new GM of Raw. Matt Morgan is finally on American Gladiators. And the Dirt Sheet gets hijacked. Be jealous. Joining me in this Electric Light Orchestra is, from New York City, a man who likes to joust every now and then, VRM.
Yeah, I like to joust. I'm more of a fan of assault, though. Get to shoot stuff.
And finally, the deadliest aim in assault, Trista.
I don't think I've ever played that before.
And someone who would qualify as a human cannonball, Nikki Heyman.
Oi. Well, then again, I'm glad you didn't say Atlas Fear.
And finally, someone who enjoys playing a great game of Atlas Fear on the Eliminator, DJ. Ladies and gentlemen, your panelists for tonight. And, of course, the big news of this week is Mike Adamley being named GM of Raw. And what I would like to do is play that clip for you. It will have to wait a minute, so I will bower on and on. Because I didn't prepare, because I was busy doing something a little more entertaining, like making dinner. Which is to say, I was busy playing a game of Sail the Century on a game show website.
So you missed the announcement.
Not really. And now I have to restart my computer because Internet Explorer is down.
Oh.
Does this mean we have... Does that require a ton of commercials? And shame on you for not using Firefox.
Yeah, what is this?
A computer that can't handle Firefox?
No such thing.
I'm running on a Commodore 64.
How the hell did you get IE on a Commodore 64?
A nice expansion box.
A crowbar, maybe.
But the show will continue to be broadcast while my computer restarts. I would also like to point out that whoever made up this decision is a complete git.
The IE or Mike Adamley?
IE. And the person who thought Mike Adamley as GM on Raw would be entertaining. Yes, it would be entertaining, but it would be entertaining in the wrong ways.
I think that person goes by a name with three words. I think, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Actually, I think I'm going to blame Adamley being a GM on Freddie Prinze Jr. Am I allowed to do that?
Yes.
Thank you. I will. Sorry, Freddie.
And I'm a huge Adam Lee fan, but I mean the whole build over the weeks, the 4 weeks with Shane and Stephanie, I just expected more. I would have been even more satisfied if it would have been Vince or Shane. Did you see the Conway pop that the announcement got? I mean, it just pretty much killed all the momentum that show had Monday night. I'm sorry, it was a horrible announcement.
It did. It was just like everyone's so excited. We're all waiting for some music to hit, and then suddenly he says, Mike Alley, and then suddenly you hear the record scratching. What the fuck?
Especially when I heard when I read the SN Saturday Night Main Event spoilers, and I heard that Ted DiBiase was in the building. So
I give them props for teasing a lot of things. Adam Lee and JR received the same phone call that got them there, so JR was a suspect. Jericho was giving up the highlight reels, so Jericho was on the list. Shane was in the building. He could have more than adequately just stepped out and said, I'm going to run this because nobody else can. There were so many other prospects. I give them props for the holy hell factor. Unfortunately, the rest of the announcement was brought to you by the letters W, T, and F.
I would also go as far as to saying that, you know who should have been GM of Raw? Sure, it's been done to death, but it needed to happen.
Who?
Bish.
I'd have taken that, actually. Even though he's somebody I don't mind picking on a regular basis.
I would have enjoyed to see Bischoff back as GM, personally, because I thought but then again, they've done the heel thing out so much, the heel authority figure is being done to death lately. So, do something different, but this is...
They're doing something different. They have a bumbling idiot on there as a GM.
Yeah, I know.
You don't know that. You
what
do
if he
not know that.
He's like super smart, and he just knows everything there is to know about wrestling, and he makes fantastic matches. And you're just like, where did this come from? And he's like goofy, smart Adam Lee.
As he pulls Maria in the courtroom, which I'd actually thoroughly enjoy. That's why I'm not going to dog on this. I'll give it everything for surprise factor. But for now, let's let it play. Let's see what we get.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nikki. I think he would work out. It's just that the announcement, I was expecting something bigger. Even tease me a little more. Maybe play Bischoff's music and have him come out and then have an Adam Lee Bischoff confrontation or an Adam Lee Paul Heyman confrontation.
Don't tease!
coming back
my poor uncle's in LA right now, so
that I hear.
Is he trying to pitch a sequel to Rollerball?
Actually, I'm hoping that I hope he remembered Zen Meister's phone number, so I can drop off and drop and give him his last paycheck.
Oh. Buzzing.
I thought RVD did get paid.
He was probably one of the few that did, but I will leave that joke alone because we're not going to get anywhere with it. What else happened on Raw?
Cole abuse.
Who's that?
Cole abuse. Michael Cole getting his head handed to him on a silver platter by Cody Rhodes.
Hands up to anybody who didn't enjoy that. You should be shot. Watching the hype poodle getting whipped in the ring was fun.
Cole abuse is always fun.
Yes, as long as that abuse isn't anal.
Mr. Cole, I bet you miss your DX wedgies now, don't you?
I bet he misses hide and rape.
No, nobody misses him. Nobody misses him.
Did you poll everybody to know? Ooh, there you go.
So, Trista,
yes.
What'd you think of the happenings on Raw, i.e. Cole abuse and Mike Adam Lee as GM?
Yeah, it was okay. I tape it, so I watch it, and like the more morning. And it's funny because even though I tape it and I like read the spoilers when I get home from work, when I watch it, I forget everything that happens. So it's like it's still new to me. So when I'm watching it, like I knew Adam Lee was GM, but then he came out and I was just kind of like, what? Like I had to rewind it and make sure like it really did happen, and it did, and it left me less than impressed with it. And that whole short, brief thing with Crime Time, that totally sucks, because they need more airtime, for sure.
Yes, they do.
I love them so much. They're such a great tag team. And they're like, hey, we'll team you with Cena. And they do, and then they do nothing with it. Like, I know they do, like, you know, JBL's getting his limo all smashed and whatever. But, like, this would be perfect time for them to finally cash in their tag shot they won 2 years ago.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought I was the only one who remembered that.
Trista speaks the truth.
No, I'm a filthy Crime Time mark. I remember, like, the stupidest shit they do, so.
I've turned into a Crime Time mark, but I can't tell that story till we get through the rest of wrestling.
I love Crime Time. That's one of the few people, when their music hits, I'm like, yes. I was looking forward to seeing them all night. I just love it. I sit there and I like dance in my chair. I'm like, yeah, Crime Time, bust a move and whatnot. It's fun.
yo, Shad Gaspard and JTG. It's Crime Time.
Even one of my friends
Brooklyn.
Is into Crime Time because I showed her the skits when they were first debuting. And remember they had those and they were like stealing Fat Tony's pizza or whatever it is and beating up like random white people. She really enjoyed them.
Now you're going to make me go YouTubing.
We watched them in sociology.
Oh, that's even funnier.
When we're on the topic of stereotypes. It was good times.
Yes, because nothing in wrestling says fun like exploiting stereotypes.
Nothing.
And again...
Oh.
Moving on. Just to let you guys know, Jason Black will not be calling in tonight. He is stuffed up with some allergies. He will not be calling in tonight.
I think he's allergic to the WTF factor.
No.
I hope you're listening, Mr. Black.
No, he really does have some allergies, and he will be on the sidelines. However, he should be back next week. Actually, he kind of has to be back next week because next week is when we do the Hard Justice picks.
That's
right.
What it's called. I knew a TNA pay-per-view was coming up, but I don't watch it, so I didn't know what it was called.
By the way, just a brief note for everybody. August 8th, we will have the TNA Hard Justice pick-ems. August 15th, we will have the SummerSlam pick-ems.
I will not have to be at the August 15th show.
Then you PM me your picks.
I can do that.
Or you call me.
I can do that too. You'll probably get a message because I don't know what kind of shape I'm going to be in that night.
Yeah, you're going to be gaming to your heart's content. Also, August 29th, that will be a special edition of the show where we take on a British classic TV show and Have I Got News for You.
Looks like I need to do some research. That one.
You'll like this stuff, DJ. You will like this. If you like British TV, you will love this.
And on that note, we have another caller. Let's hope that it's Paul Merton. Caller, you're on the air.
No, it's just somebody who missed the Adam Lee discussion.
Sorry about that, Forth. My computer was being an ass at.
That's all right.
So, what are your thoughts on Adam Lee on Raw being somewhat gooker-worthy?
I honestly have one thing to say, that at the same time, I was feeling both happy and angry. You ever get that weird tingling feeling in your head when you're thinking too hard? That's what I got as soon as Adam Lee was standing behind Cena and Batista. I didn't know how to feel.
Well, I just want to quote something from OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com and what they said about it. They said nothing good could come out of this, and they hyped up and they scheduled the match too early. It should have been done for WrestleMania. However, I would like to point out that this is a good thing because they could build up to that WrestleMania match. They could have Batista beat Punk after using, like, the another Game Genie code.
I forgot that this is, that's where that came from.
Which is, the code is AXBQVABAA.
And what does that do for you in Final Fantasy II?
Nothing, because it was never released.
Oh, okay.
For the NES, at least.
Okay. I don't have any memorized. I'd give you the goofy money code I used in American Final Fantasy II for the Super NES.
Which translates into Final Fantasy IV.
That one too, but there's a code, you know, not to get off topic, but there is a code that as long as you have the money, you can buy it over and over and over again until you run out of space.
Shall we press on?
Please.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Games that only geeks know all about.
I speak fluent geek.
Can I make one comment about the Batista-Cena match at SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Sure.
I just really think that you don't need to necessarily have to build all the way to WrestleMania. I mean, you've had some big matches like Hogan and Michaels that were on SummerSlam. I mean, this is a pretty big go of the out of the year, so I don't mind them necessarily. It's like the WrestleMania hangover at the end of the summer. Put us a big match in there, you know. It doesn't hurt.
Okay, let me just quickly run down what happened on Raw, and we will discuss it somewhat. Except for the stuff that we already talked about. Santino Marella and Beth Phoenix defeated D'Lo and Kelly Kelly when Santino pinned Kelly Kelly. No surprise there. He celebrated as if he won the gold medal at the Olympics, or maybe when he is celebrating just because he actually won something.
He's a wiener.
I love his fake trumpet blowing. It's awesome.
In the ring, we had Jamie Noble talk smack to Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston quite handily beat him. We had a welcome return. CM Punk beats William Regal, and Regal looks good.
And that match was all kind of stiff.
Why the hell they put him in a singlet? He looks hard in a singlet.
It wasn't even a singlet. It was a weird little frilly vest.
Actually, I like the comment that I saw on one board. I don't know how Regal got a hold of my grandmother's bathing suit.
If it was my mother's bathing suit, we'd have to call Regal Adrian Adonis Jr.
At least it was a one-piece.
Or Bertha Faye. Because it is that garish. Title match, there are some promos. The British guy from America, actually, I'll just do it all in one lump. The Jenny McCarthy fight against autism this week on Saturday night's main event should be well worth it. People who did promos, Jeff Foxworthy, who isn't smarter than a fifth grader.
Burn!
Piers Morgan from America's Got Talent. He's got no talent.
Ouch.
Jenny McCarthy plugged her Generation Rescue organization in the fight against autism, who hasn't had a successful career move since singled out.
Ouch.
And what else do we have? Oh, yeah. Women's title match. Mickey James defeated Jillian Hall and then gets completely blindsided by Katie Lee Burchill.
Yay.
I liked how that was.
So thank God for storyline continuity. Which is, well, let's just thank God for it because we'll probably never see it again. Expected 3 weeks for them to be tag teaming.
Don't give them ideas.
If you do, make sure it's a positive one. I don't know. Pushing for London.
If he's healthy, he rang his belt pretty hard in Charleston a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think he's healthy enough.
Oh, man.
I already watched it.
Just a quick note while I try to find stuff. Wrestlecraft.com, new induction, Paul Christie, magician, hypnotist, apartment buildings. All right.
What is that buzz?
Oh, good. You can hear it, too.
Yeah, I could hear it, too.
I'm hearing a little bit of an echo.
That's Nikki's Bluetooth.
Sorry, I don't want a crick in my neck.
Understandable. Jobber of the Week, new one. I wrote it, so go read it, please. The Jobber of the Week is the Killer Tomato, a female Jobber of the Week, as a matter of fact.
A rare thing.
Buzzing sound.
The killer bees.
That reminds me, I need to write up a new induction. I need to write up the teacher's pest induction.
Okay.
ECW, did anything interesting happen on ECW? Oh, yes. This gets my epic fail moment of the week.
Uh-oh.
Whoa! Todd Grisham doing ECW commentary when they have better people already ready to go.
Well, let me be the 500th person to say the brand is dead.
No, the
if
brand was
dead,
dead when Mike
they
Adam
have a brand new belt.
Exactly. Actually, it died when Mike Adamly became commentary. Just saying.
I thought it died at the severed to dismember.
Nope, you got it right there. That's right, December to dismember, you got it right. God, what's that buzzing? There. On that note, Todd Grisham doing commentary is not good.
So we traded away Jeff Harvey for Justin Liger.
Yes.
You mentioned Liger?
No, but on the Hard Knocks DVD, I think, is where he accidentally called Jushin Liger Justin Liger.
Oh, okay. I don't have
no, we traded Jeff Harvey for the salmon, of sexy.
I've been, oh, good
salmon
Lord. Somebody, no. Somebody ordered me to make a picture, draw a picture of John Morrison as a fish with cheese grating off his abs in the shape of schwaz. As this cheese schwaz.
That still sounds hot.
It sounds wrong, and the person, thank you, no, I deserve that. That pun is awful, and Dino, if you're listening, damn you. Anyway.
Aside from that, I don't remember anything else happening on ECW that was of much importance, except for Mark Henry bending a bar over his knee.
Evan Bourne was on TV. That's always good.
That is very important.
Oh, yeah, Evan Bourne.
Very important. And Ricky Ortiz actually had a second shot at getting people to stop calling him Atlas Backslide.
Did it work?
I didn't go to the chat room. I don't care. To the Oasters listening, screw you guys. You've only seen two matches.
And also nice to know that Brayden Walker, and I read this, Brayden Walker told Matt Hardy that if you need backup, just let me know. Only one thing springs to my mind when we come to this. When is Matt Hardy going to be given an alcoholic gimmick?
Nah. We already had one Hardy that needed rehab. Why another?
Thank you.
Only because that one was a real life one and this one would be a work.
Oh, two jabs. You're so funny.
No, Matt already had his real life issue. But his girlfriend retired, so we're done.
He had a girlfriend?
Yes. Nip, slip, Lita.
I thought he also had another girlfriend, but I don't know if he had to pay her $20,000 a night or not.
Oh!
More cheap shots. God, you guys are ruthless.
Because we actually get to talk this week.
Attention wrestlers, do not piss us off.
The reason we're taking cheap shots is because we could actually talk this week.
What, just because me and Black took over the show a couple of times?
No. Let's move on, shall we? Let's talk some TNA. Actually, we'll put the hold on TNA for a second. Trista, you wanted to talk about some Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. She's giggling like a schoolgirl. How much of it do you remember?
I remember drinking. And I remember hitting on guys in the beer line. And I remember watching really good wrestling for like 3.5 hours, which I haven't done in ages. And I remember people withering in pain in front of me covered in another guy's blood, which was extremely hot and shouldn't have been as sexy as it was. It was such a good time. Oh, my God. Amazing. Amazing. We're coming back in November, and I'm hoping I can go. But holy shit, this was amazing. I'm already recommending it when it comes out on DVD. It was awesome. I was speechless at one point. That's how good it was. It was just awesome.
And by the way, just let people know, if you do pick up the DVD of them in Toronto, Toronto?
Toronto, correct. Actual Toronto, not TNA's Toronto, but they were actually in Toronto.
Oshawa.
Yeah.
Just to let people know, if you want to point out Trista on the Ring of Honor DVD, all you gotta do is just look for the Death Ray shirts.
False. I didn't get any. You'll have to look for the girl in the front row slightly drunk in a black halter top.
I'm buying the DVD.
It was such a good time. Oh my God, Nikki. Oh
yeah?
My God. It was.
Oh my God. Uh-oh.
Oh my God. So friggin' Austin Aries comes out, right? And I'm just like,
yeah.
I try to say something to my friend, and she just looks at me, and she's like, that did not qualify as a sentence. It was amazing. He was like,
oh, wow.
And I'm going, she's like, are you speechless, right? Because I talk a lot. I know this. Not a lot of things make me speechless. Add to the list, Austin Aries sitting on the turnbuckle right in front of us for like 30 seconds. Ha! And Tyler Black's abs, which could rival John Morrison's.
There you go. No, I can agree to that. This ranks right up there with me getting in a shouting match with Larry Sweeney at the show I attended recently.
Oh, really?
He came out with like 5 or 6 people, including one of the Tolans, who now looks like a miniature Buck Bagwell.
Yeah.
And
that's
yes, you can have
Tank
a smaller Buck. That's Tank. Yeah, it was Tank.
Yeah.
And there was it just got really quiet during the match. So I stood up and in full voice I said, Mr. Sweeney, we should have a partnership. He turned around and he said, why don't you? We should have you shut up and sit down.
Sweeney's amazing. He was so fun to watch. He was the whole, like, sweet and sour ink. That was, like, the first half of the show. because they were always coming out. And then seeing Lance Storm out there, that was so good. Oh, man.
See, that's the one thing that kills me. I would love to run into Lance Storm again.
He looks the exact same as he did last time he was on TV. Different haircut, but the exact same.
Hey, Trista. Well,
did he actually, like, go?
What?
Go ahead, DJ.
Regarding Sweet and Sour, does Chris Hero still come out to Chris is Awesome?
No. It was some weird techno thing. I didn't even know what it was. My friend did, but she's a huge music nerd. But I had no idea what the song was.
Oh, because his entrance theme was so awesome.
No, I don't think he came out to that. From what I remember, it was some techno, like, Japanese J-pop stuff.
Well, maybe it was the music, but, like, the intro, like, is his voice, and it's going, Chris is awesome.
Okay, that wasn't there. I'm pretty sure.
No.
And DJ, he
didn't have that when I was at the show. You heard the opening part of Holding Out for a Hero, and then it went into this real deep Batman kind of intro.
Yeah.
Rap.
Right. All right, let's talk about the card, shall we, since I have it in front of me.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the results have been posted on onlineworldofwrestling.com. Chris Hero defeated Ruckus.
Yes. Great opening match. It was a fun time. I don't really remember. Like, I remember the real sick kick at the end. But, like, anything noteworthy, there wasn't really much. It was just a really good match to get the night going. Everyone enjoyed it a lot.
Delirious, Nikki, how would you translate Delirious defeats Kenny Omega by submission with the Cobra Stretch into Delirious's language? Thank you.
Another good match. Kenny Omega was really good. People wanted him to come back.
Unfortunately, I'm a horrendous Delirious mark.
Good times. He's awesome. I like watching him.
Bye. The American Angel, sir.
Oh, can I tell a Delirious story real quick?
Yeah, you tell the Delirious story. I gotta get something from my room. I will be discussing it on the show tonight.
Cool. No, when I went to Survival of the Fittest a couple of years ago, Delirious came out, and I'm trying to remember, I think it was Seidel, was going over there to shake his hand. It was either Seidel or Joe, or no, it wasn't Joe, it had to be Seidel. And I yelled, "Do you even speak the language?" And he looked right at me and said, "Bah."
That's gold.
24 karat gold.
All the stuff that happened with Delirious and his qualifier for Survival of the Fittest and the amazing Survival of the Fittest match at the end of the night. Seidel, Delirious, the Briscoes. There was one or two other people in it.
What year was this?
2006.
So Claudia would have won, right?
No, it was...
Delirious.
Yeah, Claudia won...
Claudio had a match, but he wasn't in the Survival of the Fittest match.
No, he won
this
in
Cleveland? Cleveland?
I can't remember.
The Cleveland.
Fuck, what was that called that Claudio won?
No, I don't think he did win a Survival of the Fittest. Chris Hero won in 2007.
Right,
yeah,
this was 2006.
Yeah, Delirious won that.
Right.
And Chris Hero won last year, but Claudio won a tournament in ROH, and I can't remember what it was called. Race to the Top? Race to the Top, that's what he won.
Yeah, Race to the Top.
That is correct.
Shimmer Match was next.
Twas.
American Angel Sarah Del Rey defeated Girl Dynamite Jennifer Blake.
Who is a Canadian from London, Ontario, so people are good to see her, because she was in UWA a lot, and there's a lot of UWA people in the crowd. Just, like, little people knew who she was. Good match. She lost. It was kind of heartbreaking seeing the homegirl.
Yes.
But, good match.
It gets more heartbreaking, but we'll explain that later. Sarah Del Rey continued to assault her, but Daisy Hayes ran out to make the big save.
That is true.
Then we go on to Eric Stevens versus Go Shiozaki.
Amazing match. That would be like match of the night for the first half of the show. And Eric
yes.
Stevens has a new look, and it looks really good on him. Really, really good on him.
Ended in a 15-minute draw.
And it didn't continue because Goshi Ozaki was only paid for 15 minutes. Which I thought was awesome.
And then Lance Storm comes in.
And the roof came off.
It did. It absolutely did.
And it really came off when Chris Hero blindsided him.
It came with booze. But no one enjoyed it very much. My friend had
have.
No idea what was going on. She's like, who's Lance Storm? I'm like, just cheer.
Eric Stevens comes to the rescue, and they put Hero and Sweeney into simultaneous Maple Leaf submissions.
It was actually Hero and Shiozaki they put in the Maple Leaf.
It was Hero and Shiozaki, not Hero and Sweeney?
Here, it's on the new video wire that was up on yesterday. They put up Thursday night.
Okay.
It's Shiozaki, not Sweeney.
Damn Sweeney not getting his comeuppance. Okay. Now we get to the American drag queen, Brian Danielson. And yes, I won't. If I ever go to a Ring of Honor sign, Ring of Honor show, I will bring a sign that says the American drag queen Brian Danielson with Brian Danielson's head on a dress.
I actually saw a guy with signs outside, and he threw them out before we got into the place. So I'm not sure if you would be allowed to bring signs or not. But then I saw other people with signs. They just it was like a thumbs up and a thumbs down. They would hold it up after every match. It was pretty good.
Sounds like, yeah, spotty sign security. I've been through this.
Yeah.
It's a freaking garden.
Isn't Danielson a fellow Washingtonian?
He is from Washington. Where is he from?
Exactly. That's why I'm bringing the sign.
Aberdeen? Does that make sense?
Yeah, Aberdeen, Washington.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I'd only support the sign because Danielson is so essentially slappable.
I expect those kind of signs to when he finally debuts into WWE. However, he did defeat Claudio Castagnoli, which gives me filled with rage.
Heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Oh, that sucks.
My friend is so sad. So, so sad. Because she bought her friend's wrestling shirt.
For the record, I wasn't yang. I was, hey!
My friend bought her first wrestling shirt, and it was a Claudio shirt, and then he came out, like, before the match to, like, you know, slap the hands or whatever. But Claudio, he would, like, take his fingers and put them on, like, your palm and then slide his hand across yours, and he did it to, like, everyone. He did it to my friend, and she, like, stared at her hand, and then she stared at me, and she was like, oh, he touched me. And I'm like, yes, he did. And then we, like, high-fived right after.
Okay, that's awesome.
It was the first fangirl moment. It made me so proud. I'm like, I'm so proud of you. And she had a Claudio shirt and everything. It was good times. And then he lost, and we just kind of stared at each other. And we're like, oh, this is so depressing.
However, some good news is that Danielson promised that their November return will be a double shot weekend.
Because they're also doing Montreal on the Friday, which didn't go over very well. Because if you're not from Montreal, then Canada hates you, so... Yeah. Don't mention Montreal outside of Montreal, pretty much, because it's not going to get cheers anywhere.
Exactly. They'll probably draw like 300. Naromichi Marufuji defeats Roderick Strong.
Oh, what a good match. This match is so good. There's this one part that really sticks out in my mind, because it, like when I saw it, it like amazed me. Roderick Strong was like all bent over. Hot, and then Marufuji went off the ropes, and he gave him, like, an elevated curb stomp, almost, like he was in the air, and he just had, like, one foot on the back of Roderick Strong's head, and it just slammed to the ground, and everyone was just like, no way, and, oh, it was such a cool move to see. That's, like, the one part of the match that really sticks out in my mind, because it was a crazy, crazy spot. Really enjoyed it. And what else? There's another cool match. And then after he did that, Roderick Strong stood up, and then he got super kicked in the face.
Ow.
So it was good times.
Just thank God that Don West wasn't doing commentary.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
He would have exploded by the end of the first match. Like, there's no way.
Oh, by the way, Hotshot Wrestling on the forum, on the chat room states that I was at the Ring of Honor event Detroit last Saturday, and I shook hands with Lance Storm.
Nice.
And that curb stomp was a sick move.
It was insane. Super sick.
If you want to get on the show, dial 1-646-716-9678. That is 1-646-716-9678.
And remember, you can remain anonymous. Oh, wrong show.
What do you think this is? Cops, America's Most Wanted? Come on.
We need to do more ROH discussion. This is great.
Only if we ask the people actually go to the shows. Nigel McGuinness defeats Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen, which, in my mind, gets a this.
He was Mr. Canada for the night, because he's from, I don't even know, I think he's from Montreal, but whatever, Mr. Canada.
Canada, oh wait.
Yeah, that match almost had me crying. It was so good. There's just so much emotion in it. And like right at the very, very beginning, but like first 8 minutes, they're outside, and like Kevin, Nigel McGuinness threw Steen against the like ring, and his back, like, the very middle of it, it, like, bent over, like, the edge of the ring by the apron, and you could hear
Ow.
It, and as soon as it happened, you could just see everyone being like, there's no way he's going to win now. Like, there's just no way. And then, like, the biggest heat for the night, Nigel McGuinness puts him in a sharpshooter.
Oh. Ooh.
Insane, because Steen was trying to pull it off a couple of times, and he never could. And then McGuinness got it, and oh my god, I've never been so pissed off at a wrestler before, like, ever.
Awesome.
It was such a good match, and you're sitting there, because everyone just wants him to win, right? Debut in Canada, Canadian guy, title match, everyone just wants Kevin Steen to win. So everyone's like, come on, don't tap out, and then he got him in the sharpshooter, and it's like, tap out, Nigel, and then he didn't, and then Kevin ended up losing, and everyone's all sad because of it, and then at the end of the match, he, like, goes to cut a promo, so he has the microphone, and you hear him go, like that, like, you hear him take the breath, and then someone behind him goes, you suck, Steen, and everyone just turned around and booed the hell out of the guy, and Steen dropped the microphone, and that was it, no promo or anything. It was just like, oh, you asshole. Yeah.
That guy deserves a this.
That match was just so, I don't know, I say emotional because it was, and it had me pretty emotional, but it was insane. That would be like match of the night, but then I would give Claudio and Danielson like match of the year candidate thing. Just like different styles, different meanings to the matches, you know? But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nigel and Steen was definitely off the charts. It was insane.
And we have one more match to talk about.
Yeah.
Easy.
The Briscoe brothers and Austin Aries defeats some tag team.
Jobbers. They're not important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just some tag team known as the Age of the Fall, with Jimmy Jacobs, Necro Butcher, and some nobody by the name of Tyler Black.
Yeah, it wasn't that good of a match. Completely worthless. Biggest waste of time in my life. No.
I was going to say, how long can you say this with a straight face?
Oh my god, I couldn't. It was insane. Like, that was the one match where if I could tell you what didn't, like, what happened, I wouldn't be able to tell you because I don't know what the hell happened. Because it was no disqualification, and it started out as Jay Briscoe against Austin Aries against Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black, and then Necro ran in, so then it became Necro Butcher, Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black against Jay Briscoe and Austin Aries, but then Mark Briscoe came in, so then it was a six-man, and then somewhere during all of this, I got headbutted in the ass by Jay Briscoe, and then Necro dumped all my DVDs on the ground to steal my plastic bag to choke him out with it. And then my chair got dented, so then I couldn't sit in it again. And then somewhere during all this, Necro left and Mark Briscoe injured his hand again. So then it was back to a tag match. So, yeah, that match is pretty much batshit insane. There's no other word to describe it.
I hope that was being recorded for a pay-per-view or something.
It was insane. Like, Jay Briscoe got busted open, and Age of the Fall was drinking his blood and, like, I don't know, swimming in it, and Tyler got all covered in it, then he's withering in pain in front of my friend and I, so we continue to sit there and make perverted comments about him, while he's, like, 2 inches away from us. We're hoping he didn't hear him, because they weren't very polite, and...
Stuff like, Tyler Black only bleached once a month, what?
What? No, it wasn't anything like that at all. No.
Sorry.
No. I would go into detail, but that's something I only want to share with Nikki, really. Because I think she'd be the only one.
Private message me. You know my MySpace, and no, I'm not going to tell anybody what you say.
I'm sure you'd be the only person that would appreciate the humor and the ideas that went through my friend and mine's head when this was happening.
Okay. Yes, please.
Nikki, can I get a copy of that message, please?
Sure. But I'm doing I'm doing this out of the love for wrestling, not because I was a complete fangirl when they came out and was speechless at one point. But yeah.
No, that's fine. I guess
okay,
then
I'll
stories at some
just
point.
So we get this cleared, I went for the wrestling.
Okay, during the match, Jimmy Jacobs handed Necro Butcher a spike.
There was a piece of the table that Necro put Jay Briscoe through with a bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
Within the first 10 minutes of the matchup.
And ordered him to use it on Austin Aries. Necro refused to do Jimmy's dirty work and walked out.
He walked out after Aries told him he can make his own decisions and he doesn't have to listen to Jimmy all the time. And then it went to, it was back to like a 3-on-2 match. And then, I don't know, Mark Briscoe walked out in front of us with some hot guy in tattoos. I'm going to assume works for ROH. He's like, you're just going to do more harm than good if you stay in the match. And then I was just like, okay. So now I think it's back to a tag match and not a six-man. Like, so much shit happened. You're just like, okay then. It was a good time. Good time overall. But yeah, he didn't stab Austin Aries, thank God. I'm sure I would have cried if he did, but...
We have some interesting stuff from the Detroit, Michigan show.
Right.
My friend attended, Miss Kitty Limit.
Yes. I.E. Blades Katie Vick.
Yes. Nice girl. Her text.
But before we do that, I got a letter.
Ooh.
Nikki knows about this, but the rest of you don't. At least I don't think.
Yes.
This is from WWE. It says here, Dear Robert Salomon, we enjoy your work on the radio. Can you please shut the fuck up so you don't embarrass our talent? No, I'm kidding.
Find Al Snow.
Yeah. Dear valued customer and WWE fan. I didn't know I was a fan. Yeah, right. Okay. In connection with your purchase of WWE 24/7 On Demand, hold on. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about SmackDown in the archives. In connection with your purchase of WWE 24/7 On Demand, you have qualified to receive a limited edition collectible WrestleMania 24 Chopper Diecast as a gift. As a result of several factors, including the earthquake in China that led to an initial manufacturing delay, followed by unforeseen tooling problems... We are unable to ship the Chopper diecast. A Chopper diecast, you know, like a scale model?
Okay.
Like a Matchbox, yeah, a Matchbox motorcycle.
Okay.
No, bigger than Matchbox. More like a... Yeah. Unfortunately, we cannot predict when we will be able to ship your Chopper diecast. So please accept the enclosed limited edition WrestleMania 24 Chopper diecast T-shirt created by WWE and Orange County Choppers, which is available only to those affected by this delay. So we have apologized to you for the delay and thanking you for your patience.
eBay.
Hell no.
So that should go. You know how much money you get for that? One of those limited editions bullshit?
Unopened.
There you go. Ka-ching!
Listen to this. As a result of this unforeseen delay, you may choose one of two alternatives. 1. Maintain your order for the Trapper Diecast, which will ship as soon as it becomes available. Or 2. Cancel your order for the Trapper Diecast and receive a check in the amount of $24.99, the retail value of the Trapper Diecast. Please let us know which of the foregoing alternatives you have selected by checking the appropriate box below on the reply portion of the notice and returning your request to us in the enclosed postage prepaid envelope right in my hand. Again, we apologize for the delay and look forward to your continued support. Best regards, your friends at World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated and Orange County Choppers. And I have one thing to say.
And what's that?
Vince, it's all about the money! So, wouldn't it be fun to get a check of $25 in Vince McMahon from one Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr.?
To be honest, I don't think anybody would cash it in. They'd frame it, they'd put it away.
Screw with this, and screw with his accounting for a few years. That'd be fun.
Or put it in a briefcase and then walk around and say that you're going to cash it in on Edge.
No, I think I'd do something sensible with the $25.
Donate it to the Kids Play Charity. Woo! Or not.
No. I'd buy a Ring of Honor DVD with it.
Oh.
Buy a copy of Hard Knocks on eBay.
Too soon,
no.
Man. Too soon.
Or I could be really smarky and buy a TNA. No, nobody would even buy a TNA DVD.
Not even
Thank
their
you.
New Bloodiest Matches DVD?
I would buy their Global Impact DVD. That's probably the only one I would buy.
Their first Ultimate X or X Division DVD is really good. I still pop that in from time to time. Second one, not so much, but the first one's really good.
The Anthology set is good, too, where the first three pay-per-view events, or actually, I think it's first two and then Lockdown.
Nikki, I sent you the conversation through your MySpace, so.
All right, I will be checking that momentarily.
You can go check it out.
Should I check it now or should I wait till after the show?
After the show.
You may do what you wish.
Because I
got
to talk about the Detroit show. This was a pay-per-view taping for, I believe, what was it? Respect is Earned 2?
No, that's the one that aired tonight, actually. I'm not sure what this one's called exactly because, I don't know, if I'm not going to be there, I don't really care. But, yeah, I'm not sure what this one's called. I believe it is their 8th or 9th pay-per-view taping.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's another great blog talk radio show out there. Has to do with wrestling. It's called Hot Shot Wrestling. And they have a show Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. I am told by this person in the chat room that is one of the best wrestling blog talk radio shows out there.
Now, I the show.
Well, they like the show. They're talking to me right now. And I'm going to go so far as to say that I will listen to their show as soon as I can.
But while we're on the topic of having the best wrestling show on Blog Talk Radio, I got to pick up ETA. I just have to. Every pay-per-view, we do a rundown. Very sexy results. That's the
tagline.
So, yes.
Wait a minute.
I'm gonna hit D2 the next time I see him on IM.
Whenever the next TNA pay-per-view is our next show. So, I have the number if you want it. I can send that to you too, Nick.
Yes, please.
Okay. I shall do that as well.
This is not mutiny, Mr. Seidelman.
Let's talk about Ring of Honor, the Detroit show.
Yes.
The Briscoe brothers defeated Mitch Franklin and Silas Young.
Surprise.
Eric's Four Corner Survival. Eric Stevens defeats Ruckus. And Ba Ba Ba. And Shane Hagedork.
I see what you did there.
It's actually Hagadorn. No.
The Hagadorn sounds is more appropriate. We destroyed that name in Dayton. It was Hagadorn, Harry Potter, Dumbledore, Gryffindor.
Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen bounces back from his
tragic loss, devastating,
and defeats Necro Butcher.
Only he won the night before. Damn.
Nigel McGuinness defeats Claudio Castagnoli to retain the world title. That gets at this.
Also, which makes that match a little bit more important, is that Claudio said, like, that week, if he didn't win that, then he was going to be finished with Ring of Honor because there's nothing left for him to accomplish. But then he wrestled tonight, so I don't know where he's going with that. Or he's wrestling tomorrow night, so I don't know. My Claudio's confused. My poor Swiss boyfriend. But yeah, that's what's going on with Claudio. He's confused.
And in a match nobody cares about, Silas Young defeats Kenny Omega.
Go, Kenny!
Tag team match, Roger Strong and Hiromu Marufuji defeat Sweet and Sour Incorporated, Chris Hero and Goshi Ozaki.
That would have been a really good match.
And Lance Storm appeared during the match to counter interference from Larry Sweeney and even put Sweeney in the Maple Leaf.
There it is.
And also, Hotshot Wrestling has a website, www.hswlive.com. And we're getting plugged.
Cool.
Which I have to say is full of this. It's full of win. Hotshot Wrestling is full of win. We're full of win. And Lance Storm is full of win for putting that loudmouth Larry Sweeney in the Maple Leaf.
And you're his fan?
Hey, Larry Sweeney's a nice guy.
Yeah, but I'm a bigger Lance Storm mark.
He'll sign your shirt if you ask him to. On the boob, but he'll sign your shirt if you ask him to.
Ooh, Lance Storm or Larry Sweeney?
Larry Sweeney. I didn't get to meet Lance Storm. I really wanted to, but then I was like, well, fuck, if I'm going to meet him, I should probably bring something to bring. And I don't own any Lance Storm merchandise because, I don't know, I've never found any Lance Storm merchandise. And then by the time I got there, there's this huge fucking lineup, and it turns out that he was giving out pictures of himself and signing it. So I was like, fuck. But whatever. I stayed in line and in the beer line and, I don't know, hit on.
I would have him autograph an Andrea True Connection CD.
It was actually kind of weird.
Serious for a moment.
It wasn't really a line when I saw it. It was like a circle and like everyone just kind of standing around and talking wrestling, and there's Lance Storm and Bushwhacker Luke just hanging out. So it was pretty cool to see.
Bushwhackers.
Whatever. It was fun.
Yeah. Sadly for you, Trista, American Dragon, actually American Drag Queen Brian Danielson defeated Tyler Black via referee stoppage.
Bah. Whatever.
American Dragon used his trademark flurry of stiff elbows to the head until the referee called the match to be stopped, awarding the victory to the drag queen.
Whatever. Next time. And it's Tyler Black versus Brian Danielson 4. That's when he'll win. Hopefully.
This time it's for real. Yeah.
And there was the Honor Rumble.
Which is a Royal Rumble with a Ring of Honor.
Oh.
Nothing spiffy.
other participants included Bobby Dempsey.
Yeah.
Darren Dore.
That must have been funny.
He was pretty over in Toronto. People were chanting for him more, so they hit him underneath the ring so people would pay attention to the match. It was a good move, because everyone forgot about Dempsey after. Good call, ROH. It was good stuff.
They came for him pretty hard, too.
And he's fighting Nigel tonight.
And lost.
Oh.
I know.
Somebody beat Nigel.
Oops.
He's doing it again tomorrow night against, let me think, Tyler Black. Yes.
Please, let Tyler Black win.
And
sadly, we're going to the archives to continue this conversation, so listen to us in the archives for the happy gang of goons. I'm Robert Simon saying goodnight. Goodnight.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, so it's tomorrow night in New York and Hammerstein. It'll be Nigel McGuinness against Brian Danielson, Tyler Black, and Claudio Castagnoli.
Somebody's got to take the belt off of them.
So, I'm cool with anyone winning that except Brian Danielson and Nigel.
I'd rather have Brian Danielson with the belt again.
He'd be the first two-time ROH champion.
I wouldn't mind another 15-month title reign for Brian Danielson.
Bullshit. Freaking Brian Danielson.
You're right, bullshit. Isn't that odd? We actually talked Ring of Honor.
Good thing I'm here.
And I did read that email, Trista.
Uh-huh.
You are a twisted little lady.
Well, you know.
That's a compliment, by the way.
There he was. And, you know, you say what comes to your mind first, and you pray he doesn't hear it.
I'm sure he heard you. No, if he had heard you, he would have asked you about it after the show.
Yeah, and we didn't stick around after the show because we had to meet up with these two cute guys I talked to, and they showed us the way to the subway. So, yeah,
right.
Wow, Toronto, the crowd, nice. The guy that sat next to me looks like he works out like 9 hours a day and was addicted to steroids, but he was really good looking. And I was almost on his lap for most of the night because we were so close. But hey.
You should have took him home.
It's all for the love of wrestling, right?
Yes.
That's what I kept reminding myself.
But sometimes you just gotta give in and just take the wonderful succulent abs into play.
It's
those rippling. Let's move on.
That's why Woo-hoo. I told the guy in the beer line behind me that if he was so hot he had to take his shirt off, I wouldn't have a problem with it. And then he said the same thing to me, to which I said, I have kids sitting in my section, so. It's good times.
Jeremy Bort, let's talk some TNA Impact.
I guess so.
Okay, we can talk TNA Impact. Let's move on. No, I'm kidding. Let's actually talk about it. Booker T's backstage interview. Booker T said he gives Samoa Joe a personal tour of his six-sided ring of steel. A ring of steel and weapons.
And we need one. Why?
My thoughts exactly.
It's his castle. He'd like to show you the dungeon.
Yes. Welcome to my underground lair.
Like I won't see it. Like I won't.
Number one contender tag team match. Beer Money beats Christian Cage and Rhino to earn a title shot.
What?
Due to 3D interference.
Yep. After the match, Christian Cage and Rhino challenge Team 3D to a New Jersey street fight at Hard Justice in Team 3D's backyard. God, I sound like Mike Adamley.
Why do all these matches get the name of whatever, wherever they are? New Jersey street fight, New York City parking lot brawl. What else has there been?
Cheap Pops.
Pretty much. I mean, but they said Belfast. Didn't they say Belfast Brawl for Finley JBL at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And they're in Orlando.
Yeah, there is no Belfast in Orlando. Trust me, I've been there.
I think the closest thing you get is the Humatilla.
Actually, downtown, there's enough gunplay. You might get a good facsimile.
The only reason I know is because my friend Dustin Dumovich is from Humatilla, Florida.
Okay.
In which I feel sorry for him. Lauren interviews the Rock and Raven
Infraction.
It's okay, dude. We're archiving now. It's okay.
Yeah. Lauren interviews the Rock and Raven Infection. Actually, now the name actually makes sense. Chris Tammy said they sold their souls to rock and roll, so bring on the cartoon wannabes. Christy said they don't know where they are or where they are going, but they're living the gimmick. Wow.
They all had so many levels.
I gotta have a Ben Stein sound effect.
Wow.
Yes.
You see, I'm wondering.
Whoa.
I'm just wondering how long until they start dropping instead of getting those shots at the WDEF TNA Tag Team Championships.
In about 5 minutes, because Jay Lethal and Curry Man and Shark Boy defeat the Rock and Rave Infection and Johnny Divine.
Why Divine was in there?
I don't know, he was still hired.
For Team 3D doesn't use him anymore, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have a job.
He was a Team 3D? Holy shit, I'm so behind on TNA.
After the match, Jay Lethal got down on his knee to ask Val to marry him again. Lethal noticed that Val lost the ring he had for Hold, so he doesn't think Val ever wanted to marry him in the first place. And Lethal will face Sanjay Dutt in a brawl and chain match at Hard Justice. Oh, dear fucking lord.
What?
Brawl and chain?
I'm digging the name of it. I'm just, you know, Russo needs to be slapped again.
Jason and I are going to die a horrible death by gimmick matches at Hard Justice.
Can't we just have straight wrestling matches and not gimmick matches? I mean, everybody...
DJ Vince Russo.
I know Vince Russo, I know, but he was okay when he started. Now he's, like, devolving into old WCW Vince Russo.
That's because I think Jeff Jarrett won't say no to him.
You can't hear what Russo has, apparently.
It could be worse. He could be doing Team Challenge Series 2 right now.
Well, that was Bischoff's idea.
I know, but I'm just saying, he might try to go farther back to AWA stuff.
I'd rather have Team Challenge Series 2 rather than this shit. Let's move on. Jeremy Borash interviews some G-list celebrity until Super Eric comes in for some much-needed comedy.
Yay!
Why?
Was it really?
I love the new Heroes Guild.
The Prince Justice League Federation.
I forget what it's called, but I've been jokingly calling it the Heroes Guild after. The EFED group I was in charge of for a while.
Okay, here we go. Small Joe was irate in another interview. Borash interviewed Small Joe. He was irate, so that he knows it was Sting who hit him last week. Joe said he hopes Sting would join him and Booker in the ring tonight, but only one man would be walking out. Kevin Nash was behind Joe and agreed to do it his way, which sadly involves putting / doll. Moving on. Booker T, inside the six sides of steel with weapons. If it was Raven here, it would be called a Clockwork Orange House of Fun match.
That movie was really fucked up. I have no idea how many times I had to watch that in literature.
I had to watch it in film class, and my brain still hurts.
I watched it, and I'm a lunatic.
I just can't
Booker T entered the ring with Joe's title, surrounded by six sides of steel, which had various weapons attached to it. Booker T promised Joe that the lights would not go out tonight. Yeah, right. Joe came out and says if he gets into that cage, they'd beat the hell out of Booker, and the lights wouldn't go out on Booker T.
It was a good turn of phrase.
Joe stepped in the cage and Booker T tried to sneak out the door, but Kevin Nash was there to stop him. Joe attacked T and kicked the living dog shit out of him. Shamar went down, but Nash picked up and carried her backstage. Suddenly, a baseball bat was lowered on a cable down to the ring when Booker grabbed the bat and knocked Samoa Joe out. He looked up and said, "Thank you, Sting. And I have one thing to say to that. Home run!"
I was thinking to myself, well, Booker's got a big black stick for Joe.
That just sounds wrong.
Okay. Slowly moving to the other side of the,
I hope that was aimed at Booker.
That was aimed at the person who told the stupid joke.
Good, wasn't he then?
A promo from Sheik Abdul Bashir.
Who?
Daivari.
Okay.
He cut an extremely anti-American promo, said if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat it. Maybe the problem is that you don't have a history of your own.
Well, yeah,
funny,
he's just
TNA.
Well, that's because he's just repeating Muhammad Hassan's history.
Yeah.
Which in itself wasn't half bad. Then we get AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. They're in the ring and they fight.
More like the lights go out on AJ and AJ gets his ass kicked.
Yep.
Oh, is it three angle slams?
Three Olympic slams, yes. Then we get the backstage interview with the Heroes Guild, and Kerman accused the beautiful people of stealing Jay's ring and threatened to give them a full body cavity search.
That was just Curry Man.
Yeah. But to show him how delicious he is.
It was just so wrong.
I would play a sound, but they just went down. Fucking heretics.
No, I actually enjoyed these two segments involving to this one and the later one that had just Sharkboy and Curry Man together.
Uh-huh.
They, in my opinion, they are comedy gold. But when you add Super Eric to it, it just sucks all the gold out of it.
Because Super Eric's the straight man to all this, unfortunately, because he's playing Adam West Batman to it.
Yeah, exactly. Then we had a backstage interview with Petey Williams.
Who cut a Scott Steiner promo. It was awesome.
Yes, it was.
I thought it was kind of funny. I liked it.
And then he gets beat by Consequences Creed, who is back to his old ring gear.
Yeah, his Apollo outfit.
Hooray! Then we have a backstage interview with Dream Barrage, Sharkboy, Curry Man. Sharkboy kisses Selena and LAX is stealing Jay Lethal's ring. Curry Man tried to play Peacemaker and asked for the ring back, but LAX blood having the ring told them to get to stepping. And then Super Eric came in and said there's a big break in the case.
Avengers Assemble. Wait.
No, it's more like Wonder Twin Powers Activate. So, AJ Styles said sooner or later, Sting will come out of hiding, and he will be the first one there to greet him. Styles said a regular match was not good enough and won the last man standing match with Kurt Angle at Hard Justice.
Another gimmick match. At least this one's a normal gimmick match.
Exactly. Karen's. Then we get to Karen's angle.
Which I muted.
And which we shall skip.
Yeah, nothing of note there, really.
Yeah, it's just Kaz leaving.
And one man whom is actually, I don't know how his last big act could be what happened in the ring later on, but you can discuss Tonto now.
Yeah, he quit.
The ironing, yes. There is one thing we do have to say about Karen's angle. The huge irony that after it was over, Tomko decided to go in there and scare the piss out of Karen and said that he would come back every week and keep doing it on the week he walks out of the company.
And that will be explained in 5 minutes after we get done with this. Kim Nash said doesn't know what Sting is doing, but obviously somebody has dragged him over to the dark side. Samojo Limited said he would go to the Raptors and drag Sting down himself. And then we have a squash match. Matt Morgan defeated Sal Renaro, who is a member of the YRR. That's a Full Impact Pro Wrestling thing for everyone.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Defeats him with the Hellevator, a.k.a. the former Mount Morgan drop.
The
which led to
the
Land of the Night from Don West. Sal Renaro just joined Matt Morgan's Mile High Club.
That's not horrible.
And the crowd goes mild.
I make an innuendo-based joke, and it's a bad one, but yet Don West does it, and he's suddenly a genius. What do I have? What does he have that I don't? Besides
a job.
I may have a job. Not right now, but maybe.
That would be cool.
You have a job, probably doing a job.
Don West has a gem in 10 Griffey Jr. rookie card.
I didn't mean to be that mean. I've been picking on Matt Morgan's signature better that I've been calling the Travelator.
Which works. Tomko came out and pie-faced Morgan, and then they had a short pull apart brawl before Tomko slipped out of the ring and said it wasn't worth it. As soon as Morgan turned his back, Tomko slipped back into the ring and attacked Morgan from behind. Morgan quickly regained the advantage with a big boot and nailed him with the Hellevator. And now Tomko is on a Hellevator back to Japan.
And back to Giant Bernard and the IWGP Tag Team title.
I like Tomko. I hope at least one organization puts a heavyweight title on him. I hope.
I think IWGP might be the first, might do it.
I hope so.
The Prince Justice Brotherhood reviewed footage of Sanjay Dutt stealing SoCal Val's ring right off her finger last week in the hospital.
Is she going to continue not watching those videos?
But she just doesn't like the violent ones.
You'll soon find out next week. Borash and Team 3D and Beer Money say that they're the best of friends now. Team 3D said Rude and Storm are scumbags just like them. Further right now, so the four of them will be taking on Cage, Rhino, and LAX in an 8-man no DQ match next week. Meh.
Right now, my local cable company is showing a Hard Justice ad, ironically enough.
I like the Bound for Glory ads better.
Yeah. Hard Justice is, let's be honest, Hard Justice is a nothing pay-per-view. This is all just set up for Bound for Glory.
Kind of like the No Way.
So go ahead.
Kind of like the No Way Out or Great American Bash to WrestleMania and SummerSlam, respectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taylor Wilde does a rough cut. They had comments via phone interview from Bill DeMott.
Yeah, that threw me.
However, I'd love to see Hugh Morris back in the ring.
Don't know if that's going to happen. I think he's got major neck and back issues now.
Lame. Gail Kim and Taylor Wilde defeated the Beautiful People. After the match, the Knockouts keep fighting until Awesome Kong power walked to the ring and destroyed both Gail Kim and Taylor Wilde. ODB walked down the ring and took a drink from her paper bag as she stood face to face with Kong. And Roxy brought a chair. Causing Awesome Kong to back out. Tracy Brooks was shown standing on the stage with her arms crossed.
It's great to see the women's division decide to stop the damage Kong was giving Taylor and Gail. Good to see them save the day.
They're setting up Sky and Love and Kong and Saeed versus Kim and ODB and Roxy and Taylor Wilde. Where did I get Kim Wilde from?
Don't know.
Just because you keep me hanging on.
Yeah.
If I do a post-production thing for this show, I will do an epic fail sound right here. Okay. Which means I won't. Samoa Joe went up to the rafters for the last 30 seconds of the show and found a black crow standing on the rail.
And then screamed.
Then we got an adrenaline rush.
Does anybody think the same way I'm thinking, that it isn't Sting, but people are just setting him up, like Booker and such?
Yeah, I'm sensing Swerve.
You don't think Sting's doing this, do you?
I think the only Swerve here is that it turns out he is doing it.
Mm. But what's his motive then?
I don't know. What would WCW 2000 have as a heel turn?
Oh no, WCW 2000 would try to turn him heel, and that's why he's not on TV right now, because he's refusing it. He's dead-assing it.
Oh, nerd. New dirt sheet.
You said something about the dirt sheet being hijacked.
Yes.
By a bunch of tools.
So why did Randy bring a bunch of his buddies?
Actually, I'll just play it for everyone. Actually put the dirt shit. Oops. I will just play the last few moments of it. However, I will say that the funniest thing was last week's show when they did a spoof of...
We will now have a moment of silence to honor us. Do it. Moment of silence? I was thinking of Santino. My bad. Sorry. It'll do that. 2 weeks ago, while we don't hang out...
There it is.
We don't hang out with nerds at the Palace of Wisdom. Well, that's all the time we have this week. Because in life,
there are winners and there are losers. We are the new WWE Tag Team Champions. Be jealous.
Did
I hear that right?
You heard right. That was Hawkins and Ryder.
Yay, Clone Invasion!
Bill, I'm surprised they aren't trying to back Edge up against Taker. What the hell are they doing now at this point?
Generic tag team number 8,752.
Pretty much another version of Rookie Impact, which was Caden Jindrak, I believe. This past SmackDown, all they were doing was hanging out backstage playing with their cell phones and playing their entrance music as a ringtone. I hope they did it through Mixer and didn't spend the money.
I swear, Edge needs better henchmen.
Listen to this. WWE signs two Mexican stars.
El Generico and Player Uno.
I wish.
They got to sign Player Uno.
And besides, El Generico is Canadian.
I don't know that.
Dos Caras Jr. and Cito Lico Jr. have both signed with WWE.
Don't know either one.
Me neither. Let's just move on. Oh! Dirt sheet to go live this Tuesday on ECW. Wait a minute. According to Amazon.com, there's going to be an Eddie Guerrero DVD coming out November 11th entitled Viva La Raza, The Legacy of Eddie Guerrero.
I hadn't heard anything about that. I knew about the Henning DVD.
How will they approach the subject of his friend?
Which friend?
The one they don't really seem to want to talk about anymore. What's his name again?
Ointment.
Yeah.
Why would they bring...
If you bought the SummerSlam DVD box set, expect something missing in SummerSlam 04.
No, that is that match is on the DVD.
It is?
They cut Triple H, Eugene. That was a classic.
I thought I read earlier that all the SummerSlam stuff had been taken off from the DVDs.
Oh, you're talking about you're talking about all the Benoit stuff being pulled?
Yeah.
How can they pull the main event off of SummerSlam 04? I realize the reason I would pull it is just because it was a travesty of justice that Randy Orton won the belt clean from a man who could tie him in a knot, ship him in a box back to St. Louis so his daddy would cry.
Uh-oh, listen to this. In addition to the hiring of Freddie Prinze Jr., WWE has also hired Hollywood writer, producer, and director Michael Pavone to the creative staff.
Who?
The guy who created Prison Break.
Okay. So
cool. Kane has... No, this just means Kane has his very own writer.
I'm trying to find... Oh! How about this? Norman Smiley's been hired as a trainer for FCW.
Awesome.
He needs to be on TV.
Agreed, but you know the fact that he's anywhere still doing something wrestling related makes me feel better.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to find the spoilers. Oh, here they are, right here. I.e. results.
SmackDown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently Nick Nemeth is still hired.
They've been repackaging him a little bit and seeing what they can do with him. He's been doing house shows and dark matches for a while.
He got beat by Funaki.
Well, then he's not keeping his job. Oh, wait.
Who? I didn't hear. Who are you talking about?
Nick Dennis, Nikki from the Spirit Squad.
All right.
First match, MVP beats Jimmy Wang Yang. Still freshly recovering from his 30-day suspension.
Yeah, but it wasn't a bad match. Jeff Hardy was sitting at ringside in a chair, just taking it all in.
And then afterwards, King Kennedy beat Shelton Benjamin.
Which, that was a long but very good match.
Yes. Who's all here?
Who we got left?
Well, I'm going to be the first one at least coming up, but fourth is still here.
Trista, are you still here? Guess not.
DJ?
So VRM, fourth, Nikki, and me. Okay. We're going to end the show after the SmackDown rundown.
All right.
The Brian Kendrick defeated Stevie Richards.
It's kind of silly, but go ahead.
I was going to say upset of the year, but you go ahead.
And we finally get to see some of the stuff that Zeke can do. He got a hold of Stevie and did a Argentine backbreaker to him.
A.K.A. Human Torture Rack.
Yeah, but he only pumped Stevie up and down like twice and then threw him and just shrugged him off his shoulders like he was nothing.
And he also caught Kendrick when he fell off the edge.
Yeah.
After Stevie super kicked him. The Great Khali defeated Jeff Hardy.
And Jeff bumped like a madman for Khali.
Yeah, lots of you can't wrestle chants.
Well, we know Khali can't, and there are some people out there that don't think Hardy can.
Maria beats Victoria. Ugh.
Well, that's just great.
My aching sense of suspension of disbelief.
When is Victoria just gonna... No, just go down to FCW and train the Divas. I mean, Victoria is not in a great move because Michelle McCool's been given control of the Diva division.
I think Victoria should put in a vote to get herself moved to Raw. I would pay a lot of money to watch her and Beth Phoenix go at it.
Who? Victoria and Beth Phoenix?
Yes. I don't care if it's heel. I'll watch it.
At least the Raw belt is meaningful when it comes to the women.
At least
the
it doesn't look like a butterfly.
Yeah, and that's what I've been calling it the butterfly belt because it doesn't deserve a whole lot of respect. I've also seen the pretty princess belt.
Reminds me of My Little Pony. Big Show defeats Domino. Big surprise.
Nothing to that.
Then Umaga comes out.
Umaga comes out and just kind of stalks around Big Show, trying to figure out how do I attack something this big.
And then he just goes away.
Well, actually, they just cut to backstage. They didn't even bother to give us an ending.
Which is kind of good. Cutting Edge, which ran a little too long in my eyes, 20 minutes, that's kind of long.
I didn't feel it dragged. Edge made some, Edge was trying to show us that he's still crazy. Edge is trying to get his brain around the fact that he's going to be locked in the cell with Undertaker, which any sane person would have a hard time with. Then he goes and calls out Foley. At first, I thought he was going to say, Foley, can you take my place? You've done this before. But instead, Edge is like, do you have my back?
Cut me, Mick. Cut me.
And Mick, in another beautiful bit of Foley magic, told Edge that the only person that could help him was the Edge he knew just a couple of years ago. He brought up WrestleMania 22. He brought up a lot of the stuff that Edge was doing in 05 and 06. Not necessarily rated RKO stuff, but all the stuff that he used to claw and scratch his way to the top. He told Edge, don't bring your seesaw riding ass to the pay-per-view. Do not bring your porch swing, spa sleeping, la la la. Everything he did with Vicky Guerrero. Don't bring that Edge to the pay-per-view because he will die.
He jumps. Then he jumps and puts Foley on the table and climbs up the ladder with the chair. Jumps up onto Foley. Hurts him. And that ends the show.
Yep. I enjoyed the final promo. I was spellbound. Yes, it was long, but I didn't feel it dragged at all.
And Edge had that look in his eye, that like just like deranged person look that.
So for whoever was asking earlier about the clones, they're just trying to keep away from him because they don't want to catch any of his lunacy. And I'm sorry that Trish is not still here. I wanted to tell her a quick story that wanted, you know, just to reinforce her Crime Time fandom and boost mine.
That's all the time we have.
I would just like to see...
USA. And I'll defy the odds, because I defy gravity.
Who would like to hear, Ms. Morrison take the piss out of Evan Bourne? To end the show. Here we go, last minute of the dirt sheet. New dirt sheet. Here they are, taking the piss out of Evan Bourne.
Is it going? Okay. Hi, I'm Evan Bourne, and it's been a lifelong dream for me to be in the WWE. And not only do I defy odds, I defy gravity.
Now?
Moron.
Hi, I'm Evan Bourne, and I was born. Born in the USA. Born in the USA.
That's right, Evan. We hope your mind has been illuminated by the torch of transcendental dirt sheet. That's all the time we have this week, because in life, there are winners and there are losers.
I suck.
We are the longest reigning WWE tag team champions in recent history, and we always be jealous.
You know what sucks?
What's that?
No mention of Hawkins and Ryder.
They were only allowed to intervene in the show once.
Okay, I'm hearing Morrison talk about the Catholic Church in the background. What is he saying specifically?
Who cares?
He cares if he's because he's asking.
Haven't been heard from in a long time. So right now we're going to call Stephen Richards. Tonight's my chance.
Anyways, good show tonight, gentlemen and lady. Ladies.
Yep.
So in honor of Michael Forwax, I say squeeze those cheeks.
Okay.
For Trista Timpson, Nikki Heyman, VRM, DJ, and Forth, I'm Robert Seidelman saying, I wish I were Julian Clary. Why you ask? I don't know. I just thought it sounded funny. Watch if I got news for you on YouTube. It's a very funny show. I'm Angus Dayton. Good night.
Hey,
folks.
Night.
Night, John Boy.